What is up and welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football Lovers Podcast. I am your host, Jared Gordon, and today I wanted to talk about something that you probably haven't thought about, heard of, maybe even imagined. You know, some hypotheticals that could hold some water as there's a lot of unknown and uncertainty. And so I know you guys are you know, probably dying to hear what I'm probably even thinking about. So, you know, I'm just going to shut up and move right on into it. You know, one of the things that I want to discuss is the fact that the NFL has stated they will allow players to sit out this season due to the COVID-19. And as of right now, nothing is official, but the first proposal that's, you know, out there is that the players are going to get paid and it will count as a year towards free agency. And my main concern is mainly for the people that are franchise tagged, you know, guys with 1 year left, guys that simply signed 1 year contracts, such as all the freaking running backs that are going to be hitting free agency next year, like Joe Mixon, Chris Carson, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Kenyon Drake, Alvin Kamara, Todd Gurley, James Conner, Kareem Hunt, Matt Breida, Jamal Williams, Jared McKinnon, Phillip Lindsay, Leonard Fournette, Tevin Coleman, Damian Williams, James White, Marlon Mack, Malcolm Brown, and potentially Mark Ingram, since he has an out in his contract. And what are we to do with these guys if we decide to say, fuck it, and not play? Like, are we allowed to, like, are these players going to be allowed to stay with their team? Or are they going to be hitting free agency, you know, fully healthy pretty much, and also 1 year older? You know, some of these guys aren't on prove it years necessarily, like Chris Carson, Dalvin Cook, or Leonard Fournette, who could benefit from the extra year of rest and come back stronger next year on a new team, unless, of course, you know, their team decides to re-sign them. But how are we supposed to trust drafting any of these guys with this type of uncertainty? You know, and honestly, the truth is, I think you just got to risk it, since running backs are just so scarce. And, you know, the difference between the top tier talent and the type of volume that these top tier talents get is so minuscule. I feel like you just got to with these guys. But now let's look at some wide receivers that are in the same situation. Or how about let's not even do that, because, you know, the difference between running backs and wide receivers is that there isn't a scarcity of wide receivers. So if you wanted to pick between, you know, I'm going to go risk it for this running back, or if I'm going to risk it for a wide receiver, don't be a freaking idiot and go and get a wide receiver that has a lot of risk to him, while when you could just go get a safer wide receiver option that, you know, their upside is typically going to be the same, like the same range. You know, wide receivers, their range of outcomes and their the difference between, you know, the top tier and the middle range are only a few points rather than the running backs. You know, there are huge margins. And while, of course, you know, any player could obviously decide to sit out, and no one can ever really predict that, the real problem that we have here is for players such as, like, AJ Green, who hasn't signed his franchise tag yet. He didn't get a contract extension signed, and for all we know, he could sit out this year and have the COVID-19 as an opt-out. You know, and yet people are taking him in the 7th and 8th round. Like, what the fuck are you guys doing? He not only has injury concerns, but now he could just sit out just for fucking shits and giggles. You know, using the COVID-19 as an excuse. So he now has 3 major reasons to not take him. He's a player that I've completely scratched off my board, no matter how far he goes in the draft. And, you know, speaking of injured guys, I'm also sick of people talking about players or you know, people drafting these guys saying, oh, if this guy can stay healthy all year, he's going to be a beast. Like, why are you going in with that mindset anyways? Or in my case, why are you even drafting them in general? The only way that I'm willing to take a guy that has that type of injury risk is more than likely going to be in the 9th to 10th round. Since I'm not risking much, and I know that I'm going to be just shooting for more of a high upside type of player, and not a guy I'm looking for as just a depth piece. And I still don't even do that too often. The main players I have on my boards with injury concerns are guys like Matt Barreta, Jerick McKinnon, and Chris Herndon are probably my top guys. But to take guys like AJ Green, Evan Ingram, Rob Gronkowski, Matthew Stafford, Kerryon Johnson, James Conner, Sony Michel, Will Fuller, and Sterling Shepard. These guys don't have a crazy enough upside for where they're still being taken, and some of them like Shepard, who has major concussion problems, or Will Fuller, who has never even completed a full season yet. These guys are still being taken in the top 100 players, top 120 players. Like, why? There is no reason to solidify these guys playing or being selected so high. And I don't like the hot takes some people say, like, oh, I'm going to take, you know, the few healthy games he has. You know, the games that he does play, they're going to be huge, and they have such a great potential. Like, I highly fucking doubt that you're going to be playing him the week that he goes off. Like, Will Fuller, nobody expected him to get those, I think it was like 45, 50-something points that week. He was on everyone's bench. Sammy Watkins, first week, on everyone's bench. You know, these guys that have these boom type of weeks, you're over here saying like, oh yeah, when they're healthy, they're the best, and these guys are great players, and I'm going to be playing them in my roster. Like, no the fuck you're not, all right? You're probably going to be having them ride your bench the whole season, wasting a spot. And I'm not that type of guy. I'm not going to be using a roster spot for guys with, you know, health concerns that are just going to be like, oh, do I want to risk him getting injured mid-game and just being a complete bust this week? Like, no. Like, I'm just that's just not the way I play the game of fantasy, and that's just not a good strategy to go in with. And, you know, there are guys that have, you know, that wide receiver two type of upside, but like maybe AJ Green has a wide receiver two upside. Please stop saying that he has wide receiver one upside. That means all of these top tier players, you're expecting half of them, maybe 80% of them, to bust. Like, you're expecting a ton of bust rate. So please stop that hype. Other guys, like, you know, you're drafting Rob Gronkowski and Evan Ingram to be your starting tight end. They're being taken as the, you know, fifth and sixth guy typically in redraft, and, you know, top 10, top 12 in dynasty leagues. So you're taking them as if they're going to be your starters. But yet, I highly doubt they even, one, finish the season, and two, if they are in, they're not going to be getting the type of volume or be as efficient as they were before. You know, you're just really screwing yourself down the road using a higher draft capital on a guy you may be playing, like, at max 8 to 10 games or weeks, per se. And, you know, after all this, you might all think, you know, I'm probably ridiculously conservative with my picks. But, you know, I'm not. I go for a good mix of upside and floor. I just never want to risk it on a high injury guy. You know, to take a spot on my team, waste space, where I can have a higher chance type of player, or a higher chance for a player to break out, that has less of an injury concern. Guys that I like are like, Darius Slayton, Deontay Johnson, Michael Gallup. And yet, you know, AJ Green's going before all these guys, just for an example. You know, not to completely just turn this into an AJ Green bash, but this is just an example as in, you know, you got all three of these guys that have way less injury concern and still have, you know, top 24 upside, which isn't, you know, league winning necessarily, but it's great to have and go for. And they're going to be solid flex plays and wide receiver two plays every single week rather than a guy that, you know, might not even be there every single week. Point is, you know, in conclusion, I hope you guys just take a chance at the running back position, even though due to this whole COVID thing and, you know, the chances of people sitting out, it's just the scarcity and the talent and the volume gap with running backs is so much larger than the wide receivers. You got to go and get that running back early. And with the wide receivers, you know, you can take that safer guy that still has a slight upside rather than wasting a pick on an injury-prone player. You know, and if you hate that type of ideology, you know, thank you, as you make my draft so much easier because, you know, you just have great players fall to me. And if you do like it, then, you know, keep coming back for more of these kick-ass content videos and podcasts, as I'll be coming back soon with another episode. All right? Catch y'all later.